sports station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Happy Monday, everybody. Turn it up. Here we go. Shake out the cobwebs. It's Monday. Big week. Big weekend.
That doesn't get your heel. Get the heel going.
Heel?
Heel on the, as you're driving?
Oh, okay, toe tap. The heel, yeah.
Heel, toe tap, heel.
The heel.
I do the heel.
You do the heel?
Yeah. All right, good morning, everybody. Alexander Georgiev just gave up another goal. Too soon?
Wow.
Too soon?
Well, no, it was not pretty.
Wow.
Wasn't pretty.
Wow. What happened? Georgie. At one point, it was 7 goals on 22 shots.
Yeah, it was 4 goals on 10 shots.
Yes.
And then it was 5 goals on 18 shots.
Yes.
And then I just kind of, I mean, every time they threw a puck at the net, I just expected it to go in at that point.
You know, and then when he starts throwing the arms up and you know, just showing his frustration, whether it's frustrated at himself, frustrated at what he perceives to be happening in front of him, just frustrated at the overall situation. I mean, you know sports psychology, Mark, pro athlete psychology. Once you've started acting like that, I mean, it's clear. It is buried in your head.
Oh, there's no, zero question. And by the way, if Enonen wouldn't have been sick, he would have been in there, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the end. You're not going to start Georgie next game.
Well, Enonen has to be healthy.
Well, what's he sick with?
Well, that's the question. If he was sick enough to not be able to back up in a game in which you already went in knowing that you had questions and concerns about the goaltending, you would want to feel pretty good about who your backup was. And the fact that he wasn't able to go, you know, the hockey player credo, the fact that he wasn't able to go tells me he's pretty sick. So he's got to heal. He's got to get over whatever's ailing him by tomorrow night.
Sick with a lower body injury. Maybe it was just one of them throw-up things. You know, where you're throwing up.
Oh.
Diarrhea.
Oh.
You know.
Happy Monday, everybody.
You need some Pepto.
Oh.
Maybe it's just one of those things.
Maybe. Where let's hope so.
24-hour.
Let's hope so.
You know, 24-hour.
Bug, huh?
Tummy flu.
Yeah. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Because, I'm seeing on social media, you know, hopefully Georgiev has played his last game as an Avalanche. Never mind last game of this series. Last game is an Avalanche. They want him out of here.
Dude, he was bad. I think at one point, I don't know which goal it was, but Bednar on the bench was like, you got to stop that for the boys, you know? You got to stop one.
Well, especially on a day in which you go out and score 6 goals against the presumed dead cinch lock Vezina Trophy winner for the best goalie during the regular season, Connor Hellebuck. I mean, you made him look ordinary. He looked rattled. And you put the puck behind him 6 times. 6 times on the road.
And lose.
Tell any coach, any hockey coach, hey, we're going to give you 6 goals on the road, game 1, playoff series. How do you feel about that? Done. By the way, for those saying, can we get Pavel Francouz on the phone? He's retired. Announced his retirement on Friday. So there you go. We'll get your reaction.
Would
to
diarrhea be a lower body injury?
Sure. It's below the hips.
Yeah.
Below the waistline. Rogue's just like, really?
I'm just wondering what's
like, I thought I got a 48-hour break from this, and now it's...
She did get a 48-hour break.
Well, she did.
This.
Now it's begun.
Now she's back on it.
It's begun again. So, reaction to the Avs loss. How do you feel about the Avs after game 1, looking ahead to game 2, coming up tomorrow night in Winnipeg, where they had a whiteout, but the entire team wore blue. What if?
Did you see all the people outside in the streets?
Oh, yeah.
Where exactly is Winnipeg?
Manitoba.
That doesn't tell me anything.
I think it's basically...
On the map, geographically.
Is it basically like go to Minnesota and go north? Is it...
Straight north from Minnesota?
Where is the closest U.S. state?
Yeah, like Toronto's right nestled up atop Buffalo.
Correct. Toronto. Correct.
But where is
Montreal's
Winnipeg?
Right up above Vermont.
It is?
It is.
They're on my list.
North Dakota and Minnesota.
North Dakota and Minnesota.
Yes. So, there you go. Meanwhile, ho-hum, the Nuggets continue to dominate the Lakers. 9 in a row. And...
Was that 11 point? Was it an 11-point victory? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And I was so irritated with, hey, the Lakers have really played them close. They went to the foul line 3-1. 19 attempts at the foul line versus our 6. Is it really close? Or do the refs just try to keep it close? I mean, I think that's a legit question for the wind horses of the world. Are they really close? I tell you what, Nuggets are a machine. An absolute machine.
Doesn't it feel like a mouse playing, or I mean a cat playing with a mouse?
Feels like
toying with it.
Yeah, it feels like
the first half, hey, we'll let you think that things are different this time around.
Mm.
And then third quarter we'll come out and say, okay, game's over. Enough of the playtime. Time to get serious.
Does feel a little bit like the Chiefs versus the Broncos over the last however many years.
Right?
Just toying.
Right.
We're just going to win what we need to win by.
And Nikola Jokic is Mahomes.
Mm.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Except
he's like...
He's Gru.
I am here.
He's Gru.
Yeah.
He's Gru.
He is Gru.
He's Despicable Me.
Right.
He's Gru.
I am here.
Did you see the trailer? The trailer for Despicable Me, the new movie?
No.
And...
Is he in it?
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's like he's meeting with a therapist and he's like, and then he does the big unveil and all the minions are outside looking at him like they think he's Gru.
Mm.
And then he comes walking into the arena before game one, completely dead ringer.
Gru.
For Gru.
With that scarf.
He was totally in character. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And the Lakers have no answer. They are getting beat, dominated by a guy who looks like Gru.
He is Gru.
So there you go. A lot to react to. Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Coming up next, as we kick things off here on this Monday, what is it like? I'll ask this question to Mark. What is it like playing with an important teammate you can't trust? And, yeah, you mentioned the referees got some stats for you that will just tell you how incredible the Nuggets' 9-game winning streak over the Lakers truly is. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station. 104.3 The Fan.
We also made some mistakes that they capitalized on too many, obviously, tonight, and it ends up costing us a hockey game. I think there's lots to look at that is on the positive side. We'll have to be better in a couple areas of the game.
Gee, what would that area be, Jared Bednar?
He said a couple.
Couple. Well, and yeah, unleash the fury on Alexander Georgiev. He absolutely deserves it. And if the Avs got any better goaltending, they win this hockey game, but they probably still win this hockey game, 6-5, 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Avalanche are now 0-4 against Winnipeg this season. They've given up 24 goals in those four games.
That's not bad.
You can't put it all on goaltending. I laid out one of the key stats.
That's 6 goals on average a game.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Six times four.
Sure, that's 24. That's goaltending, but that's also poor defensive play, a lot of mistakes that this team, this Winnipeg team, has shown all season long they'll capitalize on. So, yes, the Avalanche have to get better goaltending, but let's not completely overlook and excuse what's happening out there defensively. We continue to see it, and this has been a bugaboo for the Avs for several years now. If you lean on their defensemen, if you pressure their defensemen, they'll make mistakes. They'll turn the puck over. They'll get beat. In between the periods, PK Subban and Mark Messier were talking about the goal in front where the puck came across in front, and Josh Manson was basically just a statue standing there as the guy scored backdoor for Winnipeg. So, yes, I get it. When Georgiev's in everybody's crosshairs right now, and he has been terrible, and they do need to make a change in goal. But let's not overlook the fact that the Avs have been pretty bad defensively all season against this Winnipeg team, right. And again yesterday. Well, still should have won the hockey game, right. But
if he just stops a couple of the breakaways that, I mean, it just was, like, I have zero confidence. But if he stops, he probably gets three saves. And like you said, we win 6-4.
Right.
Or 5-4, because, you know, we're not pulling our goalie at that point.
Right.
Like we did at the end of the game.
Sure.
But there are so many just wide open looks. So he just, I mean, it's in his head. He doesn't see the puck. He's not confident. I don't know what it is. And boy, every time he comes out of the net, scares me to death. Like, that dude, just stay in there. You know, when the puck goes behind the net, just stay in the net.
Early text of the day. Guys, what's the over under on bottles of water drank by Georgie yesterday?
Oh, dude, that's the most hydrated man on the planet right now.
He probably didn't get up 4 or 5 times last night.
Oh, my gosh, right? He just slept in the bathroom.
So, game two coming up.
Have you ever been that, like, not even as an athlete? Have you ever been in your own head? Like, is in his head as he has to be? Have you ever at any time, texter or been that in your own head where you can't get out of your own way?
I mean, I had a bad case of the shanks once playing golf.
Right.
Real bad.
Rogue,
real
you've bad. You've been that bad in your own head?
Yeah, definitely.
Care to share?
Well, it happened one time in golf.
Yep.
I was in the state tournament, and I was supposed to do really good. Everyone expected me to do really good, and I just could not hit the ball. So I was using, like, my fairway hybrid. For, like, every single shot, because it was the only club that I could hit. It was terrible. I cried. Oh, gosh.
See?
I blew it.
A lot of people probably have golf stories where they were in their own head.
See, but, you know, one of the things for me as an offensive lineman, as an athlete, you see how I put that, offensive lineman as an athlete?
Yes, yes.
I'm just talking about athleticism.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Just in an athletic endeavor. Can we just say that? Will you give me that?
Sure.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. But the thing about that, unlike golf, is if I was really struggling and somebody was really in my head, I could just turn the game kind of into a street fight.
Right.
And I won't grade out particularly well, but at least my guy, like, nobody in the world is going to know that I'm getting my ass kicked or I'm struggling. Right, because you just turn it into a fight, and then you survive. Doesn't look pretty, but you survive, and you know, and you could do that. You can't do that in golf, or you can't do that. Like, what's George going to do? Go out there and fight somebody, right? Go attack?
It's all mental.
Yeah,
it's all mental.
There's no, when you're that far inside your own head,
right?
And there's no escape route. Like, I had an escape route when I was really struggling. Dude has no escape route. That part of me feels bad for him, because he is. I mean, that dude's a vet. He's a basket.
Because
case.
You can't work your way out of it.
No,
it's not really something you can just say, "Hey, if I just work a little harder, practice a little bit more, face some more shots, right. I'll, you know, I just work my way out of it."
Right. If I just am able to open my eyes. He needs eye calisthenics.
He needs to talk to
who's the doctor that did the eye calisthenics.
He needs to talk to Darcy.
Yeah.
So the Nuggets get the win the other day with what is it continues to be one of the most fascinating trends in this 9-game winning streak for the Nuggets over the Lakers. Once again, the Lakers took more free throws. 19 free throw attempts to 6.
Uh-huh.
The Denver Nuggets at home as the defending champions in a game in which they, you know, absolutely were going to the basket and running their offense through the paint, took 6 free throws. Out free throw attempted 19 to 6. It's now 9 straight times during this winning streak, all 9 games, the Nuggets have attempted fewer free throws in all 9 games. Over that 9-game winning streak, the Nuggets have taken 130 free throw attempts, the Lakers 204. And Michael Malone, you know, subtly working the officials yesterday.
I think in the second half, we had a total of 0 free throw attempts, you know, which is obviously concerning when you consider all the, you know, we had 30 in the paint we scored, and we had plenty of field goal attempts in the paint. So it's not like we're just settling for jump shots. We are attacking. We are posting. We are playing to the rim. And you would think that that would warrant a few free throws, at least 2. We'll take 2.
But as he said, we knew about this going in. This is not a surprise. Anybody who plays the Lakers understands this is the way it is. It's the Lakers attempted more than 500 more free throws than the second closest team in the NBA this year.
It's just, I mean, you go through a litany of statistics. You know, I think the Lakers forced one turnovers against the Nuggets starters.
Yes, correct. One, Aaron Gordon. They had 4 total. 1 from Gordon, 1 from 2 from Payton Watson, and 1 from DeAndre Jordan. Excuse me, Reggie Jackson.
I mean, and you know, the things we talked about. Remember we had our list of things that needed to happen. We both had on our list, like, defensive rebounding, no second shot opportunities. I think I know they out-rebounded the Lakers. I thought they were great. I thought that, I mean, that led to some fast break points, to just the rebounds, outlet passes, let's get going, let's pick up the pace. The Nuggets were phenomenal. They were fun.
Coming up in the Morning Brew, more reaction from Avs and Nuggets. We'll hear from Jared Bednar and Jamal Murray. And at 9 a.m. this morning, something's going to happen for Bronco fans that you're either very excited about or you're dreading. That's next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Schlereth and Evans.
So the Avalanche lose game 1-7-6. Alexander Georgiev, nobody wants to see him between the pipes, but what about Eustace Annunen, who was not able to go as the backup last night because he was sick? All right, Jared Bednar, what's the move moving forward?
I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to play or not. Wasn't healthy enough to play tonight. We'll see what we see in the morning, and then, you know, I'm not thinking about anything else. We got to have him available if he's going to play.
Yeah, so would you consider a goaltending change?
I'm not going to speculate.
That means yes.
It's as simple as this. If Annunen's ready to go,
then he's going to play.
He's going to play.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you just can't. You can't put that on the rest of the team with them already out there trying to beat the opponent on the road, trying to play their own game, and in the back of the mind constantly worried about what's going to happen with the goaltender behind them. You can't play that way.
Correct.
Even if it's not all Georgiev's fault, doesn't matter. At this point, he's in his own head, right. And unfortunately, the Avs players are thinking about Georgiev as well.
It's not all his fault, but if you're putting the blame game, a ton of it's his fault.
Oh yeah, no. Again, look, you score 6 goals on the road. You need to win, and you need your goaltender to make the 2 or 3 saves that allows you to win that game 5-4.
Correct.
But the Avs have given up 24 goals this year against Winnipeg in 4 games. Okay. that's bad goaltending, but it's also a lot of bad defensive plays and turnovers. And, hey, Jared Bednar coming down the stretch this season was harping on the fact that we got to tighten up our game defensively. We've made too many mistakes. We've turned the puck over too many times. So let's not overlook that part of the equation as well. Next on the Morning Brew, everything good for the Nuggets as they grab game one on Saturday. Looking ahead to game two coming up tonight against the Lakers. As Jamal Murray and the rest of the crew just shook off what was a sort of lackluster first half. But, hey, Nugget basketball took over in the second.
We're not trying to do anything different. You know, we're not trying to, like, make stuff up. Everybody knows where they should be. And they knows if they're where they should be, they'll get an open shot. So that's the beauty of this team. It's just pure basketball. There's no fighting for who gets the ball. There's no fighting like how it is on the park. You know what I'm saying? Our other teams, really, where you don't know where the shot's going to come from. You don't know where the pass is going to come from. No, we kind of know where we want to go.
So am I oversimplifying things if I just say, based on everything I've seen with the Nuggets and Lakers the last couple of years, and again on Saturday, there is no way the Lakers can beat the Nuggets. The only way is if the Nuggets beat themselves.
Yes. Yeah, even with a lopsided officiating.
Right.
They still can't beat the Nuggets with lopsided officiating. The only way is if the Nuggets, like, if they don't rebound defensively, if they let second shot opportunities happen a bunch, if they
get back on defense, yeah, allow transition hoops, those kind of things,
yeah,
just have a bad shooting night, stuff like that,
yeah.
And let me boil it down even more. The Nuggets, the Lakers cannot beat the Nuggets. The only way the Nuggets lose is if their starting five has an off night, because all that has to happen is the starting five play to the level that we expect of this starting five.
Right.
And it's game over. Series over.
Correct. And if you get the energy, and Watson was energy-wise, Watson was great. He knocked down a couple of shots. I think he came away with 8 points the other night. Like, they don't need a ton of production offensively. They don't need a ton of production. They just need defensive production from their backups. They were awesome.
Game two coming up tonight, sometime after 8. Next on the Morning Brew, at 9 a.m. this morning, the Broncos are unveiling new uniforms.
Really?
Yes.
9 a.m.
That's what we're being told.
So 9 a.m. Here.
Yeah, well, that's some breaking news for you. It's kind of funny. Andrew Mason took a dive back into the last time the new uniforms were unveiled in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, we'll have to talk to Mike Kliss about this, because Mike Kliss at the time, writing for the Colorado Springs Gazette, wrote, quote, "The Broncos don't have new home uniforms. Owner Pat Bowlen had someone steal them from the Chicago Bears equipment room." Kliss went on to write, "After 29 years of Orange Crush, Bowlen wants the Broncos to become the monsters of the Midway. Personally, I don't think that this looks anything like the Chicago Bears," Bolin said, to which Mike Kliss responds, "Either Bolin is fibbing, or he has one of those minds that gets 5 out of 2 plus 2.
Do you think they look like the Chicago Bears uniforms? The Chicago Bears uniform, their blue is almost black. Right?
Well, how did you feel when you guys got the new uniforms?
I didn't think they looked like the Bears uniforms, personally. I mean, I like the old unis, but whatever. I was like, whatever.
It's funny, Mace again found some, back when, you know, they printed the comments to the paper, you know, yeah, people would comment section. "This is horrible. This is disgusting. They look like they're playing in the caveman league. What is this orange thing going up their arms? It looks like a neon suit of sorts."
I will say, I did not like the blue pants.
The blue pants and the blue tops?
The blue pants
and
the blue tops.
Did you feel like a giant blueberry?
Yes, like Augustus Goop or whatever his name.
Like a giant purple Teletubby?
But the other thing about the blue pants, really tight. Blue pants were restricting.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Next on the Morning Brew, your Colorado Rockies. lose 2 out of 3 to the Seattle Mariners over the weekend. How about these stats?
Well, wait a minute. Didn't they lose 2 out of 2? Because one was postponed, right?
No, they had a doubleheader yesterday.
Oh, they did have the doubleheader yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, so they won one yesterday?
They won the first one.
Oh, good for them.
So check these stats out. Colorado Rockies are the first Major League Baseball team to trail at any point in each of their first 22 games of a season since the Washington Senators pulled it off in the first 32 games in 1957.
So at some point they've trailed in every game.
Yes. And there are 22. Can they get to 32?
Sure.
It's kind of like Nathan McKinnon's streak.
Right.
Right?
Same thing. How are they on Tuesday, though?
Yesterday in the doubleheader, the Rockies scored, over the course of the weekend, 3 games. Rockies scored 2 runs in 28 innings against the Mariners that have not won a series this season, on pace to win 37 games. 37.
What would that make them? 37. It'd be like one.
What's 162 minus 37?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's five. There's a five in there. Got to take away the 6. So 5 minus 3 is, that would be 125?
125. 37 and 125.
125. That'd be a record.
Yikes. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up next, Nikola Jokic getting his flowers from his coach and one of the all-time greats. You'll hear it next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
At this point, you just run out of superlatives, adjectives, when talking about Nikola Jokic, who just went out and dominated yet again the other night. 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, all while dressing up as Gru when he came walking into the arena as he was involved in the trailer for Despicable Me 4. I think it is. Yeah, 4. And, well, what can you say? He likes Gru.
Yes, I mean, I love the guy and I love the cartoon. And why not just have a little bit of fun, too?
I like the cartoon.
I like the guy.
How can you not like
the guy separates himself from the cartoon. Like, the guy is real. But they just, like, he's a real guy that just made a cartoon out of. I like the guy. And he comes over to Circus Club. He's a good dude. Good guy.
Michael Malone, you know, at this point, Malone, you know, he's run out of ways to talk about Jokic's greatness, but he did want to bring this out. I thought this was really cool. Maybe you can relate to this, Mark, about athleticism.
All the time, people just base athleticism on how high can you jump, which is part of being an athlete. But there are other great athletes that may not be able to jump very high, but have stamina, have endurance. And Nicole is one of those guys that I think can run forever. And you've heard guys talk about this year, guys that have to play against him. Like, this guy never stops running, and he never gets tired.
Yeah, I think that's always been a really unfair slight against Jokic. This notion that, well, you know, he's a big blob out there. You know, he's not athletic. He can barely get off the floor. You know, people were making a big deal about how he dunked 3 times. Somebody tried to give him a 4th dunk. He's like, no, that wasn't a dunk. I barely got it over. It was more like a dunk / layup.
But, and no, it's a fair criticism. Athleticism is not, like endurance and athleticism to push back on Michael Malone a little bit. Like, there are a lot of people, or there's athletes that just, for whatever reason, don't seem to get tired. Guys that just have that stamina, whatever that is, and I don't know why that is, but some athletes just have that. Remember talking to Peyton Manning about Marvin Harrison. Like, that dude can just run all day long. He never gets tired. You know, I mean, you're running goes, and most guys tap out and say, hey, bring the next guy. No, I'll run another. I can just go. Like, there's certain guys that don't get tired. But from an athleticism, just pure athleticism, Nikola Jokic is one of, I mean, to put him next to Anthony Davis, not even close, athleticism-wise, when you're talking about pure athleticism.
Yeah, but you, okay, but again, the reason I compared him as something you would appreciate, as much as I give you grief, you are a great athlete. You've got to be a great athlete sure. to play offensive line. Even at guard, you got to be a great athlete, even though, let's face it, most people out there would not think of offensive linemen right. as being great athletes.
Of course, you have to be a great athlete. But when you put it in comparison to the other guys out there, you're non-athletic looking. I remember I was throwing a pick in San Francisco, and it was Michael Carter, their nose guard, that picked it. And he takes off the other way, and I take off running after him. I'm young at the time, and I'm like, oh, I'll catch him. You know, I'm going to catch him. And I am running, and I am gaining, and I'm going to catch him around the 10, 12-yard line, somewhere around there. You know, and a DB ran by me backwards. Like, he ran by me and then turned backwards to block me. And I was like, wow. Like, I'm really running fast, too. like, there's a difference in athleticism there. And that's all. I mean, no, Nikola Jokic is a great, great athlete. But in NBA parlance, he's a very average to below average athlete when you're matching him up against guys like Embiid or guys like Davis or some of the other centers in the league.
Well, okay, but James Worthy, who does post-game or does pre- and post-television for Lakers TV, this is James Worthy, big game James.
Sure.
Part of the most athletic NBA team ever, the Showtime Lakers, can't say enough about what he sees in Jokic.
It's the way he runs his offense every single time. It's not ISO. It's not guessing. It's not spontaneous. It's perfection. And he runs it every single time. He didn't have to shoot a three. He's getting 2 foot hooks and mismatches. And so it's, you know, I give him credit. They've been together for a long time and they run it very well, but it's just what he expects.
I mean, when James Worthy is doling out praise like this and just talking about how this guy is head and shoulders above everybody else, the way that he sees the game mentally, the way that he plays the game, high praise, because, you know, those Lakers Showtime teams were, you know, one of the two or three greatest NBA teams of all time. I've got to imagine,
if you press James Worthy, if you sat down with James Worthy and asked him to explain or to compare Jokic's game, he would have to compare it favorably to Magic Johnson.
Yes, of course.
How he sees the court, how he knows where everybody is, how he can play.
He's 2 moves ahead.
Yeah, multiple positions. And again, that doesn't point to athleticism. That just points to unbelievable understanding and execution of the game. And they're fun. I just love watching the Nuggets play. Well, they are great.
And piggybacking on what Worthy had to say, you know, Michael Malone, recognizing that mental toughness in Jokic.
The guys that can run long distances, yes, you're physically fit to do so, but a lot of guys physically can do it, but mentally they can't sustain that. And I think it's one of the things that's remarkable about Nikola is his ability to be in great shape and mentally just fight through any walls and barriers and just run right through it.
Mm. You know what? It's funny. I was up at CU.
Yeah, how'd that go? Coaching. Another Saturday with Dion.
Yeah, another Saturday with the boys. But that was a conversation I had with several of the offensive linemen. Is you guys get to the point where you're in the midst of a drive and I can watch your technique start to suffer from your stance. You get 4 or 5 plays in and your stance starts to get ragged. Why? Because you're tired and it's hard to hold yourself in that position and wait for the call. And it's like, and you can see it. You can see guys. And then when your stance, because the foundation of your game is your stance. When that starts to suffer, you know what starts to suffer? Technique, because there's a kinetic chain. from being in a stance to getting out of a stance, there's a kinetic chain that follows. And when guys get tired, they lax. And it starts that's the first breakdown, and then everything breaks down after that. And so it was like, you gotta be in a good enough shape to get in this stance and do it through the long haul.
Jokic could play all night long, and you never get the sense he's going to get tired. Fan Flyaway, we never get tired of giving you a chance to go out on the road to see some of your favorite sporting events presented by Sport Clips, this time sending potentially you and one lucky listener to a road game for the Hoops Finals in June. You'll get two tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500 spending money on us. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Four Down Territory next.